So a couple of years ago, I had a business in the water industry, and just shared with her now. One of my teams took one of the buckies, and they loaded all the tools and the stuff and the equipment for the next day. And they parked the bucket outside their complex. So the next morning, the bucket was gone with all the tools, like 20, 30,000 rand worth of tools. And so you can imagine when I arrived there, we went to this site together, and there was no bucket, no tools, nothing. And I tell you what, when I realized that they parked the bucket outside and was stolen, you know that feeling when you get inside? It's like it just did bottle. You feel like really angry at these guys that, what were you thinking, man? But I kept it inside. You know, sometimes you don't share it. And I think that's even as bad as sharing it. Or, well, it's not as damaging, probably, but I just felt the whole time as we were driving to the police station, what were you thinking? And I was really, it was like just going in my head. And then that whole day, it wasn't a great day. And the next morning when I woke up, I clearly felt God saying to me, release it. Release it. And I'll tell you what, it was a journey. It was tough to release it. But I started and I said to God, I felt God saying, speak life over those dead bones. Because it's dead bones. It's something that happened. I've got this thing in my mind. And I started to speak God's word over this. And then during that day, he challenged me even more. He said, speak life over the police force. You see, that thing inside of me that had to be dealt with as well. You know, our country and stuff that doesn't work and whatever. And so I had to release that. I had to release that. And also over my team that did this stupid thing, man. Hallelujah. It's a healed scar. It's still a scar. But you know, it's amazing. I started to enjoy waking up, thinking about it, going through the day, thinking about it. And when I think about it, I was speaking God's word over that situation. Laugh. And you know what happened? Nothing. A week goes by, 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It's just, and about 6 weeks later, I got a phone call from a guy saying, are you the owner of Isuzu Cream Isuzu Bucky? And it was a guy that saw my bucky in Yanga and got a flyer of one of my, the company I had, and he phoned me. And that whole process, he worked with the police and trusted the police in that whole process to get my bucky out there. And how God has used the... But you know what happened is, even if I didn't get the bucky back and the equipment, I didn't get that back. I sowed that. When the devil steals from you, you just sow it, then it's not stealing anymore. And you know what happens then, eh? But you know what, just to finish off, is the process that happened in me was more precious than recovering the bucky. God has worked in me and planted in me that seed of speaking life whenever there's a situation. And I tell you, that is something that it changed me for the better. So I even love that team. Thank you.
They're not here, hey? They're not here.
No,
okay. And you know how God turns around a lousy situation into something cool because he does a deeper work in our lives. That's the whole purpose of going through things. God works in us. Thank you for sharing that. Much appreciated. Many, many in South Africa can relate to stuff having been stolen. But how many of those have prejudice then that rules their lives and minds instead of forgiveness, releasing, and loving? And so when you share that story, what happens, we help keep a heart of right attitudes towards one another. That's why those stories are so important. Thank you again. Another story.
Oh, well.
So as Ruben alluded, we don't always trust the police to do their job. But I had an amazing time in Stellenbosch once where I'd parked my car semi-illegally and my bag was in the back seat. There wasn't any other parking. So I went to the office, went to go work, and about lunchtime I wanted to use my car to drive somewhere, and I get there, windows broken, bag's gone. It's like, oh. And in that moment I was like, I can choose life or I can choose death. And I was like, I'm not going to let this get me down. And I just said, God, you're in control. Went to the USPD and told them, listen, yeah, stuff's gone, whatever. They go down to the police station. Like, yeah, I know the drill. Had three bikes stolen already. Head down there. I'm sitting, waiting in the queue. Finally, constable is like, okay, tell me your story. He's busy writing his whole little essay. And somebody keeps on phoning me. I'm direct, do it, direct, via, do it. Finally, I'm in a meeting. I get an SMS back. We have your stolen items. Like, how did that happen? I haven't even finished my statement. So I'm like, constable, just hang on a second. Oh, this is crime intelligence. We have your stolen bag. We are on the third floor. I'm like, I'll come up quickly. And God gave me all my stuff back. So,
oh, that's a cool recovery story, eh? Very cool recovery story. What we do as a church is we regularly like to go to the police station. And what we do is we say we love to, we get ladies in the church that are gifted in baking, rusks, oat crunchies, all sorts. And we take her to the police station. We just say we want to say thank you for the way you serve our community and our area with your diligence and vigilance. And we just bless them, we pray for them, and we say, we're here to serve you as a church just the way you serve us. And we build cool bridges with our police station. To the point where I used to take a monthly meeting in the police station just to encourage all the different sort of captains, station commanders, and all the sort of constables and all the people that work in the office. And the one time there was a robbery, and the one criminal pointed his gun point blank range at one of the officers, pulled the trigger, but the gun jammed. And they arrested the guy, but what had happened is they took a picture of the gun with the bullet jammed and put a big article on the front page of our table talk, God Answers Prayer, and how God intervened in this whole story, and they credited to Christians praying from Life Changes Church. But see, what we do, we serve the community on every level. You know, we go to the fire brigade and we pray for them, take stuff there. And what we're doing, we're building bridges into the community because we're working together, but just at different levels, but we need one another. And so if crime's a challenge, bless your policemen as you do and bless them, pray for them, build those bridges. Thank you for sharing that story too. There you are, cool. Isn't it encouraging to hear stories? And to me, I believe there are so many bottled up stories. Thank you. I believe there's so many bottled up stories that are in preserve stuff and which need to come out. And as you, okay. And I do believe God wants to help each and every one of you feeling in God, God confident for what he's called you to. And so often we live in reverse gear or live on the back foot, but I do believe this particular talk, I sense the Lord was wanting to put his reinforcing steel boldness into your hearts and lives. He wants us to become those courageous, valiant believers that are unashamed of the gospel and what he's called us and what he's done in our hearts and lives. And there's a beautiful prayer of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. I'd like to read it to you. Now, when Paul asks for prayer, he must have been struggling in an area. Agree or not? If you ask for prayer in a specific area, it must be something that you personally challenged by. And that fascinated me because Paul was possibly being intimidated by the enemy to keep quiet. verse, he says, pray for me also that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might declare it fearlessly as I should. The Amplified brings out beautiful freedom of utterance, may proclaim boldly and declare it courageously as I ought. And to me, if Paul prayed for that, the saints prayed for him, he continued to do that. And as we know, the gospel went out in Herod's palace and many, many came to faith. We've got the New Testament today because of his prison journey. But many of us are in the prison of self, becoming so self-conscious and self-aware. What if I did share my story? What if I did speak up? What if I did stand up? Can I encourage you, when you begin to do that, you embark on an amazing Jesus adventure. And I believe there's great adventures that God has got for each and every one of you, and he wants to give you that fresh courage and boldness. Now, there's four aspects of boldness. We're just going to look at the one this morning. There's firstly the boldness before the throne of God in prayer. And I've just alluded to it, of the importance of praying for those that are far from God, of praying for God to take the blindfolds off their minds and their hearts, praying for God to open their hearts to the knowledge of Him. I like to pray, God, the things that they are pursuing, let it become sour in their lives. And you know, they're often just climbing the corporate ladder. Say, Lord, let them get to the top and see how empty it is. There isn't even a view at the top. Lord, the things that are pursuing that are not of you, let it just become empty. Then we need to become bold over the devil and the works of the devil. We need to learn to say no to the devil more and more. Five things Jesus said we to do boldly and courageously over the devil. Resist him, cast him out, give him no place, give him no opportunity, bind him and trample upon him. But the one I wanted to focus on is making a bold stand for Christ as a witness for him. And that's something that we grow in. And I want to emphasize it's a journey. And some of you just started that journey by just going over to somebody else and saying, who are in your salt route? Let's pray together. For some of you, it might have been a big step, but I commend you for that, that you were courageous in doing that. Now, the word brave can also be used bold, daring, gallant, valiant, confident. And that confidence comes from God. I said yesterday, courage and boldness has nothing to do with your personality. God's boldness has to do about knowing Him and who lives in you and what He can do through you. I want to reiterate that, because often there's the myth that we've believed, the lie that we've believed, it's not my nature, it's not my personality. I'll just let them see Jesus lives in me by the way I live. I agree that is a profound and powerful way, but the Bible also says, how can they believe except they hear? Both are important. Our lives need to be in stereo, in life, conduct, and in words. So it's not to do with your personality, but knowing Him and Him living big through you. Hence, the importance of our lives being regularly salted by the knowledge of Him. Last night for myself, I got a new A. God is an abounding God. He abounds in mercy and grace. And as I went to bed and I just said, oh, Jesus, thank you that you are abounding towards me. Let me be a conduit of overflow to others and all that you are to me. So my God alphabet, my God flavors, my God salting of my life is ever increasing. And then I'd get on my phone, my concordance, and I'd start looking up verses where the word abound is in. Then I add it to my God alphabet. So I would encourage you, begin to use that as you grow. Now, God's boldness, there's a God boldness that must have a gentleness and respect and attitude, because that carries God's weight. God's boldness is not getting in people's faces or bulldozing them, or ramming the Bible down their throat. I don't believe that's the Jesus way of being light and salt. God's boldness has gentleness and respect with an attitude of reflecting Jesus. Now, boldness is one of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The early churches, you look at the early church from the intimidation of being locked in the upper room, filled with the Holy Spirit, they charged out in Jerusalem and they did phenomenal things in that city. Within 2 years, according to historians, everyone living in Jerusalem had heard about the gospel. But there was a courage and a boldness. I want to say, let the voice of Scripture be the loudest in your life. Not the voice of this person or that. No, the voice of Scripture. You're familiar with these verses, so I want to refresh and remind you. In Acts chapter 1, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Kenneth Wiss translation of that word power is ability, efficiency, and might of a kind that God has and exerts. How profound is that? That power has nothing to do with Eskim. It has to be divinely connected to a heavenly grid. And that power is resurrection power. And when you're connected to that, the early church has said, we cannot help but speak of the things we've heard and seen. Prison didn't intimidate them. Beatings didn't intimidate them. In fact, beatings spurred them on. The Bible says they counted a joy for being beaten for his name's sake. Why? They were linked to a heavenly grid of power, of resurrection life, where nothing could stop them. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our hearts, in our lives. In Acts chapter 4, when the religious leaders came and said to them, don't speak in his name anymore. They had a prayer meeting, a good thing to do. But their prayer is profound. But they didn't pray, Lord, protect us. Lord, help us. Lord, you know what they're saying. You know where we are. Find us new places to hide. No, they prayed this. Now, Lord, consider their threats. However, enable your servants to speak your word with greater boldness. See, it wasn't going backwards. They were saying, no, we hear what they're saying, but there's a greater heavenly call and a greater heavenly enabling. Let's step forward with greater boldness. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit does. Acts chapter 9, when the apostle Paul, it says he moved around freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 13, when also Paul and Barnabas, the religious leaders, were filled with jealousy and spoke abusively to them. But the Bible says they boldly continued to speak the word of the Lord. Again and again and again, you see the word boldness coming up in the book of Acts. It was a mark of the early time church, and I believe it's going to be a mark of the end time church. It's going to be a very visible mark of the end time church, filled with the love of God, because it's his love that propels us into the world, coupled together with a boldness that has courage and gentleness and respect for people. There needs to be that, because if there isn't that, their hearts will be closed off to you. But when you do it with gentleness, God goes to work. As I said yesterday, I'll say today, boldness is a journey. You take a little step and you think, whoa, it wasn't that difficult. Then the next step is, whoa, it was a bit more. My first steps were just to say hello to people. When I walk through the mall and my eye catches, I just say hello. And I give a smile. I said, Jesus, my smile, I wanted to reflect your smile. Was the Bible says, you smile on us. So it's just how, in the queue, I just said hello to the people back front. Before, that was my journey of growing in boldness. To say hello to your neighbors. There was another project, a workshop we had. We gave people a week to find out the names of their neighbors around about them, that they could start praying for them and saying, Jesus, which ones do you want us to invite over for tea, for lunch, or for dinner? Some people live in areas they never know their neighbors. I say, how can we reach them if we haven't yet first met them? So being bold is a journey. Proverbs 28 verse 1, it says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. There's the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah in us that wants to come out. But sometimes it just starts off with a purr or a meow or something, but it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. Now, this boldness is not a self-confidence, it's a God confidence. And I want to emphasize that again and again, because if we see self-confidence, then that's linked to personality. But if it's a God confidence, it's beyond personality. It's looking to the Christ that lives in us. And the Christ in us needs to flow through us. Flows through us. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. Is what inwardly is holding you back from being that salt and that light, being that ambassador? What is, would you say is the one thing, would be the thing that holds most believers back from saying, I'll give you an example on a Monday generally, is when I play squash with the guys, say, hey, how was your weekend? I go, you got motherless on Friday and Saturday, woke up where I didn't know where I was and this and that, whatever else have you. And they said, well, Willie, how was your weekend? I said, geez, we had such a great weekend, eh? Fellowship, we had some cool friendships that we deepened, had a wonderful time of worship on Sunday. Three people got saved. They committed their lives to Jesus. One person got healed. They look at me. Whew, I think we possibly had a better weekend than you. How much money did you blow on booze? He said, I don't know. My wallet was empty when I finished the weekend. And what I do is I unashamedly share with them what happened to me because they share what happened to them. So how was your headache? Still battling. Monday afternoon, they're still battling from a weekend headache. But you see what I'm doing? I'm just letting them know. It's not that I'm pushing it on them. That's just the general conversation. And sometimes we think, oh, I can't share what's happening. I'm not just share. But I always do it with gentleness and respect. Don't ram it down then. Say, hey, next weekend, if you're not sure what to do, hey, most welcome to join us. What would you say holds people back from just speaking up or sharing? Fear of what people would think of you. Could I sum it up in the fear of man? I think the fear of man, as the Bible says, is a snare. Fear of man. 110% agree with you, Len. The fear of man. And the fear of man, I believe, the back of that, God wants to break. We've all seen those horrific pictures of snares around animals' legs or their necks or their whatever. And you look and you go, oh, shame, man. But how many of those snares are around our souls and we're trapped by that and we cannot move forward in God? I believe this morning Jesus is going to cut those snares off and bring healing to you that you can begin to start running together with Him. The fear of man, we need to recognize that. Because the reality of it, we all wrestle with it, myself included, from one degree or another. And it's something that will come against you in some way or other on a regular basis. Now, if I had to break down the fear of man, I've got a few pointers that could assist you. The fear of man is where we're more conscious of what others think and say about me than what God says and thinks. That's a facet of the fear of man. The fear of man wants to look good in the eyes of man more than in the eyes of God. The fear of man looks for the praise of men, to be accepted by man, acknowledged by man, more than a heavenly well done. The fear of man always puts their fake foot forward to impress people who really don't care instead of their obedient foot forward for Christ. It's in all of us, but if we can acknowledge it and recognize it and see it, that's the first step to breaking with it. To think, I actually don't care what others think, feel, or say. I just want to have a heavenly well done. The fear of man is an attitude of secretly honoring man more than God in your hearts. The religious leaders in John chapter 12 in the Amplified it beautifully puts it, tragically puts it like this. The religious leaders valued their credit with man more than their credit with God. For young people, we often term it peer pressure. For people my age, it's respectability pressure. So it works both ways. But God wants to break the back of that because he wants us to grow and overcome that. For me, the fear of man was always comparing to somebody else. I hated pastors' gatherings. Simply because it wasn't, "Hey, Wally, how are you? How Shirley? How the girls?" It's, "How many attended on Sunday? How big is your church?" I hated those questions. Because then it, all of a sudden I started comparing and I was always the loser. I thought, I said, "Wally, it's not what the size that counts. It's my impact in individuals and people. Focus on making disciples and the health of the church. Growth is automatic. Growth is automatic." People today say, "Oh, how big's life change?" I said, "God has been kind and gracious." That's my response, because it's the gracious hand of God that brings growth and increase. But I had to recognize and address it. And as I go down, that's what God has helped me to not to pander to, again, what man thinks, what man says. It's all about what he says. I had to overcome. There's three different pleasers. You're either a self-pleaser, a man-pleaser, or a father-pleaser. And often I was a man-pleaser. The first church I led in Stanger, and I have to confess, the first series that I did wasn't for the church, it was for me. And it was being a father pleaser. I had a big, big sign, a big banner. I think you still got a photo of it. Is we make it our goal to please him. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, somewhere around there. And I was preaching to myself, and I hope encouraged the church, of to live a life to please him, not to please ourselves or to please others. Because a man pleaser doesn't want to rock the boat. But how do we overcome the fear of man to become a person that obeys and pleases the Lord? Firstly, the Bible, biblically, we need to love people, honor people, respect people, but never fear people. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 17 says, "Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king." But it's never fearing people. Never fear. It's fearing God. It's the fear of God and a deep understanding of that that helps you overcome the fear of man. When I live with a knowledge that he lives in me, wherever I go, he goes. It's living with that fear. If you just do a study of different people whose lives were crippled by the fear of man, time doesn't permit us, but I'll just mention their names. Aaron was a man pleaser. King Saul, when the people said, "Sacrifice, Samuel's late, he's not coming," he did. He pleased the people, pandered to them. He lost his crown. Pilate was a man pleaser when he knew who Christ was. His wife had a dream and said, "Have nothing to do with this man, he's an innocent man." He pandered to the crowds when they shouted, "Crucify him." King Herod was a man pleaser when they shouted in Acts chapter 12, "This is the voice of a God." He received the credit that should have gone to God. He was cut down tragically. But it's interesting, Nicodemus was a religious leader. He had the fear of man. That's why he came to Jesus at night. But he overcame and grew, and himself and Joseph of Arimathea, who also struggled as a man pleaser, both together, banded together, and became Jesus pleasers. You can find that in John chapter 19, verse 38 to 39. But what I'm wanting to focus on is, how can we live in the fear of the Lord, a healthy fear of the Lord? That's not a trembling and a bowing of, "Oh God, you're up there and I'm just a worm." That's not the fear of God. That's religious rubbish. The fear of God is having an ever-increasing knowledge of who God is and living in awe of that. It's living in awe of who God is. It's living with, "Wow, God, you're majestic, you're great, you're awesome, you're amazing." far bigger and greater than I could ever comprehend. Yet, you live in me, walk with me, talk with me, and I'm your ambassador. The fear of God is to love the things that God loves and to hate the things that God hates. There's 50 things I've done a study on Scripture. As you begin to say, Jesus, I want to love the things you love and hate the things you hate, you begin to embrace the fear of God in your life. But how do we break free? I'm just giving you some highlights. Is firstly, see the frailty of man compared to the glory of God. The frailty of man. And I was a bachelor at the time, sharing a bachelor flat with a friend. And my chores were the vacuuming, besides a number of other things. And I remember vacuuming, and this thing wasn't grafting. And I thought, it's heavy. I need to clean it out. And as I was emptying this vacuum cleaner, God says, why do you fear man when all they are is but dust and dirt? Because that was what the vacuum cleaner was full of. And I was just tipping it into the bin for it to be thrown. Why are you fearing man when all we are is made from dust? And I remember stepping back and saying, Lord, I'm so sorry for the opinions of people and man to mean so much in my life instead of what you think and say. And that was one of the big steps in forwardness in that. And I used to beat myself up. I used to, how can you be so? And I think the devil just gave me a rod and he just said, go for it. And I beat myself up. And yeah, I've got to die to self in this. And the Lord gave me a beautiful truth of how do you die to self? You die to self not by beating yourself up, but you die to self through living in obedience to the Scriptures. I'll repeat it again. You die to self not by beating yourself up, but by living in obedience to Scripture. If you look at the word obedience, what are the three little words in the middle of obedience that spoke to myself? O, how do you spell it? O-B? E-D-I-E. E-N-C-E. The little word die is in the middle of the word obedience. So whenever you obey Jesus, there's a death and a dying to self and a living for Christ. I remember as I read it, whoa, Jesus, thank you for giving me understanding that whenever I obey you, I'm dying to self. Second thing is you choose the fear of the Lord. It isn't something that I could pray and lay hands on you. We can pray for a revelation, but it's something you choose every day. I said, Jesus, today I want to live my life to please you. I want to make you smile. The world breaks your heart. I want to bring joy to you. The way I bring joy is live a life of thanksgiving. Live a life of gratitude. Live a life of servanthood and loving others and saying, Jesus, what would you have me to do? And when you start living like that, you're choosing the fear of the Lord. Another thing that inspired me to fear God and not people, I did a bit of a study on bold, courageous people in the Bible, and I let their lives inspire me. The three Hebrew children of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was playing the tune and everybody bowed down except those three guys. And I began to study their lives and look at their lives and imagine the scene and imagine the situation and how they just stood. And they couldn't bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's idols. They had already bowed down to Jehovah God. They were hearing a heavenly tune, not an earthly tune. And then you know the whole story and the fire and the furnace. And then Jesus appears in the furnace. Can I say, as you begin to go through Bible characters, whether it's David and Goliath, the courage David had to stand up against not only Goliath, but the whole army. History was in the balance. But he took a courageous stand. You look at Noah in Bible times. He was, the Bible says, the only one that was a preacher of righteousness. He took a stand. But you know the end of the story. You go through the book of Acts from James and Peter and other guys. Read their lives. Look at Peter's life where the rooster crowed, but then the lion roared after Pentecost. Look at their lives and how they had to process things. Remember, it's a journey. But I want to say, take that journey and start taking big steps on that journey, because God wants to do amazing things in and through you. Boldness grows as you get out of your comfort zone. Boldness grows when you say, Jesus, today, you and I are going to do some cool things. What they are, I'm not quite sure. And I have this ongoing dialogue with him on the inside. I keep saying, Jesus, give me your heart for people. Help me see people the way you see people. And let me hear what you would want to say to people. And when I pray that daily, guess what? That begins to happen. And it is so cool. Because I never know. Our dinner tables, we sit and we share what happened. What happened? And we just share our day. It's not like we've gone evangelizing. No, we just share our day of what happened. Love, would you share that cool story of that guy when you went and helped Kathy fetch her car? Your mic is here. And you remember, it's not always the harvest. Remember, it's always planting and watering seed.
This was on Monday. My friend relocated from Cape Town to Durban as well, one of my best friends, so God was cool there. But we went to, it's called Motor Via, where she had her car transported by rail. And when we got to the guard, we were just explaining, I said, oh, we're from Cape Town and we've relocated to Durban. And he said, why have you relocated from Cape Town to Durban? So I'd had that reaction for 4 weeks since we've been down in Durban, the same reaction. What, are you crazy? I mean, this one guy went off in at Gateway when we told him. He said, well, it's the silliest thing we've probably ever done. I mean, he didn't even know us, but this has been the reaction we've been having since we've been in Durban. So I'd been thinking about it, and I thought, I want to try and find a better response when I'm talking to people. So what I said to this guy, I said to him, God has moved us to Cape Town for a plan and a purpose, because God has a plan and a purpose for Durban. So he looked at me, and then we drove in, and then he followed me and my friend to the car, and he said, can I talk to you? And he said, how can you say God has a plan and a purpose for Durban? We are poorer than we've ever been, you know. And he just started sharing some of his life. And I said, but that is exactly why God is moving a whole lot of Christians that were in other places back to Durban, because God has a love for people and he is going to bring life and hope. And he was just like so open. We had a conversation. I was able to share the gospel with him and how when we connect with God, he changes things around us. And he said he was going to church this morning. I got someone to follow him up. So it was such a cool story. But just, just being bold. And also when you say, how do you get better at this? Wally and I often just look and reevaluate our day and look at how we could have said something better. And that's what I've done in my process, thinking of a better answer to give to people who have been so negative since we've got to Durban, you know. And that better answer opened a way to share the gospel.
Thank you, love. As I said yesterday, we're still all learners. We're all learners, and every day we just look to inspire one another and spur one another on of how could I give a better response to this gay guy? How could I better respond to this person on the side of the road? How better could I? And then we spur one another to grow in that. We begin to say, Jesus, let me see what you see. I'm trusting next time we engage and see, all of you are going to have dozens of stories of just loving people intentionally on purpose and watch what Jesus does. That's the coolest thing ever. How do you think God fulfills John 3:16 today? Through you and me. God hasn't changed his mind about John 3:16. And sometimes loving is just going to go talk and encourage. Brilliant to do that. Share your testimony, those little ones. Have your little mini ones. I had to write them out and say, Jesus, give me an opportunity today to encourage somebody with this. And you'll be amazed, as I said, I'm a professional eavesdropper. I just listen and talk. I was in the queue a little while ago with my pharmacy friend Hussein, who's a Muslim. And the guy in front of me, he was leaning over that nobody could really hear. And he said to Hussein, my daughter who I stay with is so depressed and I've got a script to get her meds because she can't even get out of bed. And as he was sharing that, my heart broke for him. So as he finished, I thought, forget the cue. I followed him out. I said, sir, I heard what you said to Hussein. My wife has been through a depression. She'll be able to help your daughter. And started engaging with him. I said, meds will help to a point, but you've got to face the root of what caused the pain and what you're covering over. Can we meet and engage? When they say yes, connect them to Shirley. I keep Shirley's counseling book pretty full with all sorts of different things, and it is such fun. Can I say, when you hear of trauma, if I hear of a robbery, I go there and we say, how can we help and pray? How can we be support to you? You'll be amazed. So keep your eyes and ears open. I've got the inner stance of a meerkat. I'm always listening. We were just having coffee yesterday, and I heard somebody talk about church. I thought, okay, cool, they're fine. Who else, Lord, you know? I love to offer prayer. I ask people sometimes, is there something on your heart that's weighing your heart that I could pray? Because I have a personal relationship with Jesus, and I know when I pray, He hears, and He loves to answer prayer. We did that recently when we were having dinner with a couple up in Pinetown, and the guy responded. He says, I'm from Zimbabwe. And he says, I so miss my family. My heart aches and breaks. Would you pray that somehow I could go see them and get enough money to send back to them? And then I said to him, I said, you know the way your heart breaks for your family? God's heart breaks for you wanting a personal relationship with you. I didn't realize how weighty those words there. In front, he just breaks down and cries. The couple that we were with were a bit stunned. What are you going to do now? I said to him, you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep our eyes all open. Give him some serviettes. I said, let me tell you how much God loves you. And after 5 minutes, he said, I want this Jesus you're talking about. Prayed the sinner's prayer with him, led him to Christ, and plugged him into a local church on the top of the hill in Pinetown. Was I expecting it? No. But it just happened by offering prayer. Sometimes I offer prayer, sometimes I just give encouragement. You don't need the gift of discernment to see a person that's down in the dumps. You don't need the gift to see the Herod hustled by life. And as you begin to do that, just look for opportunities to be kind. As I said, from carrying parcels just to greeting people, you'll be amazed of what God can do and wants to do through each and every one of you. And the more you do it, the more courageous and bold you get. And can I tell you what? God so loves people. And you know how He loves people is through you and through me. It was about 3 years ago, my heart burst. God overwhelmed me and undid me. And we were busy looking for a small property from an investment point of view. And I was on the internet looking at different property sites. The reason I'm telling you the story is just to show you how much God loves people and how He hears the cry and the prayers of the unsaved. I'm going through and I see this particular property. It's a two or three bedroom house, and I just felt I need to go see this place. So there's always a link to an estate agent. So I phoned the estate agent, and he said, sure, Wally, I'll see if I can get you a viewing. First day, he didn't phone me back. So I phoned him the next day. I forget his name. He says, yes, I just cannot get hold of these people. After the third day, there is such an urgency in my heart. I've got to see this place, and I just didn't know. I've learned to live more from the inside out than from the head down. Because if you listen to your head, the devil will talk you out of doing things. But if you listen to your heart and follow through with it, it's often the way the Lord leads by His Spirit on the inside. So I phoned this agent back and I said, look, would you give me the address? He says, I can't do that because I've been designated to work through them and I can only negotiate. So I said, I don't know why, but I need to see the place. What's the address? So he, by accident, slipped it out to me. So I went around to this place, but it was in a secure complex. So I just waited outside. just wait outside. And the next minute, somebody comes. I jump out the car and I sneak into the gate. And I go up to the house at number 4 or 5. So I knock on the door. And I said, I saw your property on property 24 and I've just come for viewing. Agent's been trying to get hold of you. And the lady that answered the door, she says, now's not a good time. You can't come in now. So I said, why? I don't take no for an answer. She said, we've had a tragedy in the family and we are grieving and we don't know what to do. And Jesus said, that's why you're here now. And I said, I'm a pastor. She says, no. She says, we've been a young girl. They don't know whether she committed suicide or took an overdose 3 days prior, the day I was looking on the site. And none of them are churched. None of them are churched. And it was just smoke and Johnny Walker and everything else. And they were just drowning their sorrows and saying, we've got to do a funeral, but who do we go to? We don't know where to go, who to go to. And here I come knocking on the door and saying, I can help you. I spent 2-3 hours counseling them, encouraging them. A couple of days later, did the funeral for them. There were about 40 folk. And you see, I'm Googling for a property. God says, well, we'll readjust that because I hear the cry of broken people far from me. And I need somebody to go tell them how much I love them. Can I say to you, when you begin to say, Jesus, here I am, I'm available. Lord, just use me. Man, that is an adventure prayer to pray. That is one serious adventure prayer, and it is so cool. Now, I want to invite you on that journey. I want to invite you on that journey. And every little step you take, it becomes, wow, God, you see His faithfulness come through. Then there's certain days, there's big learning curves, but it doesn't set me back. I said, God, I want to be more courageous. And as you step forward, man, our life has been one hang of an adventure. I can't even describe the adventure it's been on. We went on a cruise last year, year before. I can't remember. Year before. And imagine 19 days on a boat with 3,000 people that cannot get away. It was absolutely wonderful. It was wonderful. We sat breakfast, lunch, and dinner with different people, sharing faith, praying for people. It was over the Easter season. And a friend who went to the captain and said, could we just have a little Easter service? So the captain said, we can't because we can only do it if it's for all religions. To cut a long story short, the night before, they just put little pamphlets under every cabin thing. There's an Easter service if you want to come. We're thinking 40, 50 people come. We had over 300 people come. 450 people come. Jammed in. We got a script. I honestly got a fright. Thought, whoa, I've never seen so many people come here, but all sorts. And I looked at them all. I said, I saw you plastered the other night. I thought, I saw this guy. He was like, and we just loved on them. We preached the gospel. We had about 30 or so give their lives to Christ. So from there, we start discipling and trying to help. We had a blast for 19 days on board. We used all opportunities. Did I feel like it? Not really. I was wanting to chill. Sunday, God says, no. Everywhere you go, there's opportunities for me. Philippians 1:21, the Living Bible, Paul says, for me living means opportunities for Christ. Now, we want to pray for people to be filled with the Spirit for great boldness to come upon you. And I believe you're actually going to sense the burning of God in your heart. And that burning is consuming the fear of man. That the fear of man, the snare of your life would be broken. And then a fresh awe of Jesus would captivate your heart. That you see Him wherever you go. You're aware of Him wherever you are. You carry His heart. See with His eyes and say, Lord, I want to speak Your words. And we want to pray for fresh and filling. And some will be released to pray in other tongues. Wonderful, divine, heavenly prayer language to pray for the lost. We want to pray for Chanda, for your back, for healing. And I want to show and share with you, how do you pray for people that are sick? If I see a person limping in any way, with a plaster cast, first thing I do, introduce myself, So hello, I say, Shane, what happened? I hear their story. And then I say, I offer prayer. I said, Jesus has given me healing in my hands, and he wants me to give you the gift to be healed. Would you allow me to pray for you? 90% of the time, people say yes. And sometimes it's an instant miracle, and sometimes it's a healing for a journey. We've seen both. But we love to do that. Love to do that. There's a little clip that I'd like to show you on three courageous men. When I first saw it on BBC, even what we're going to show, when I first saw it, I thought, no, rewind, watch, source the authenticity of it, and it's authentic and real. And I said, Lord, I want to have that courage in my heart to do what these guys did and chase away fear, stress, anxiety. I want you to watch it. Thereafter, we want to pray for fresh infilling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. Those that believe that Jesus has given you healing, we want to pray, Chanda, and we want to just minister God's grace. Every act of healing is an act of kindness that God gives. You ask Peter in the book of Acts, the crippled man, when he had to give an account, it's just an act of God's kindness. As the cross provided for forgiveness, it provides for healing. But look at this little documentary. It's a BBC documentary of three men of great courage. And just read the words before. It's from the Daroba tribe. And then it goes on, and the guys are having that, they're having their dinner. They're cooking it. And then the lions come back and finish off. That's how they hunt. And I saw that, I thought, that's courage. That's boldness. Bow and arrow, a little spear. 15 lion. And I thought, Lord, that's Holy Spirit boldness and courage within our hearts and lives. That no matter what the situation, you are majority in the situation because God dwells in you. You're majority because God lives in you. We sing of God's for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that lives in me than he's in the world. But we back off. These three guys, they just went up to a pride of 15 lions, took what they wanted for dinner, and then left. Unintimidated. I don't think they knew God, but how you and I, with the knowledge of God, the courage and boldness, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is what he wants to do. Acts 1 verse 8. What I'm going to ask you, for those that would lack the fear of man, and you acknowledge there's the fear of man, the opinions of people wanting to be look good in their eyes, etc., etc., And you want that broken over your life. Are you willing to repent and say, sorry, God, I valued man's opinions more than yours. I want to look good more in man's eyes than your eyes. And you want to really from your heart say sorry to God for that. I want you to stand and I want to pray for you. And then from that, we want to pray for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask, well, let's just do that first. And then thereafter, we're going to pray for those that are filled with the Spirit, to pray for those that have not yet been filled, so that we're working together with him this morning. But if you'd like me to start off by breaking the fear of man, I invite you to stand. And if you could pray together after me this simple prayer, but mean it with all your heart, mix it with faith, and let's talk to him. Say, Father God, today you've brought to my attention, I'm ensnared by the fear of man, with all its facets, I've been trapped. But I'm so sorry for valuing the praise of men more than your praise, seeking to look good in man's eyes instead of yours. I'm deeply and truly sorry for that. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break off and take off and shake off the snare of the fear of man. I see it coming off my life. I see it broken off my life. Because today, I choose the fear of the Lord. Every day from today on, help me, Jesus, to live in awe of you. To live seeing you in all things. Help me today, Jesus, to live to please you above all else. I want to be a father pleaser. I want to live to honor you and not man. I choose your fear in my life. Lord, right now, I ask you for a fresh outpouring of your spirit of boldness, spirit of courage, spirit of valor, that I could stand up, I could speak up with gentleness and respect for you, Jesus. I ask you right now for that. In your precious name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.